the supernatural is something that isn't supposed to happen, but it does happen.
And no nation which expects to be the leader of other nations can expect to stay behind in this race for space.
What does it take to convince you that the dead do not always rest in peace?
Brought to you by Brought's Beard Care. It's a proud sponsor of the Three Beards Podcast. Kelly Brought makes his products right here in Central Florida in the town of Winter Garden. And you go to broughtsbeardcare.com, and when you're there, use promo code 3beards with a capital B, and you're going to save 20% off your order. And on all orders, there is free shipping. Our signature blend has been, so far, everybody that I know that has tried it has really liked the blend, really liked the smell of it. So that's pretty key, because, you know, like one of our former guests, you don't want to be smelling old cheeseburger, you know, when you're out there with that. So definitely pick this one. I mean, you got to be careful with your blend, because Kelly has one called Purple Haze, and that's not the best one if you're ghost hunting, because it's made with sage. So you're going to really affect your investigations if you're wearing Purple Haze. So know your location when you pick your blend. So, Ed, at this time, we have returning with us again, most graciously. He apparently did not get scared off when he dealt with the Beardos the last time. Mr. Michael W. Hall, JD, the paranormal lawyer. I could go through the long list. This is the man that does not like free time at all. He is absolutely opposed to it. He is on a one-man mission to kill free time. Mr. Michael Hall, how are you, sir?
Awesome, Craig. Chris, Austin, you guys are great. Thank you for having me back on. Since we were talking last, there is so much stuff going on. We need to, get your audience up to speed on all this fast-breaking news and the national media even, and what's really happening. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, on that, you know, I'll let you kind of go on that. I mean, what would you say probably... We touched a little bit on the really boring, lackluster, you know, water, you know, there is more water than we thought on the moon. And that was probably not what we all had on our conspiracy bingo cards that they were going to release. But it was.
And I don't know if you recognized it, but man, they were building that up big time.
Oh, yeah.
They were like a big announcement coming out about the moon from NASA. You know, and they're what I'm thinking initially is, okay, maybe they can give us a hard timeline of when we're going back to the moon, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to come up with something concrete we can like hang our hats on. The fact that we haven't been there in decades is something weird to begin with, but
exactly,
that's what we were all waiting for, some kind of like an issue of, okay, well, we've got some technology now that we maybe can go back there. Get through the Van Allen radiation belt and get, a quarter of a million miles away from the planet, by the way. People don't realize how far the moon is. But no, they're coming out with this really bland announcement. Oh, there's more water on the moon than we thought. Fascinating, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody that I know in ufology and researchers are going, oh, that's a yawner. That's a no-brainer. Like, obviously, we knew that there were, actual ice at the poles of the moon that are in an, H2O form that's frozen. Why couldn't there be very, spaced throughout the planet, other ice crystals forming and all that stuff? So, you know what? When I hear stuff like that being built up in the mainstream media, there's going to be a big major announcement coming on NASA's part about the moon. And then something like this comes out where it's just a ho-hummer. You go, well, why would they be doing that? What's the agenda behind the idea of getting people all excited for something that's not really exciting.
Yeah. But
if you'll notice, you guys, there is all sorts of that kind of stuff going on in the mainstream media right now, as far as them trying to get your attention focused outside the planet. You know, the idea that we got some issues in space to deal with. You know, we've got potential aliens visiting the planet now that we don't know their intentions. Matter of fact, the Navy is freaking out, right? They're sending out all these, gun camera footage, you know, of various things, not just on the West Coast with the Tic Tac, but, you know, on the East Coast with the USS Roosevelt in 2015. They're always doing something to keep you off guard or wondering, you know. For instance, recently we learned, which was a big deal, the New York Times came out, right, with their kind of follow-up article regarding the whole idea of UFOs existing and that aliens, are real potentially. But the New York Times back in, what was that? It was about June of this year, came out with their follow-up article to the December 16th, 2017 article, which we had been holding our breath for 2.5 years. Like, when's the New York Times going to come out again, right? Now, I was contacted by Ralph Blumenthal back in March when he was putting together this article with Leslie Kane. And I was all excited because I'm going, my God, finally, they're coming up with some kind of a follow-up article. And of course, to cut to the chase, the follow-up article was, is as you get through the article, it was kind of like a ho-hummer initially. You get down about three quarters of the way through, all of a sudden they slip in this confirmation that Dr. Eric Davis has actually given classified briefings to the Pentagon and Department of Defense and the House Intelligence Committee members, confirming that we have in our possession, the U.S. military, in extraterrestrial craft, not made of this earth, not made by human hands, retrieved alien technology. Now, that was such a huge deal that it was downplayed at the time. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
And when I read that, finally, because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my word, finally, this second follow-up article is coming from the New York Times, about as credible as you can possibly get. What I was thinking is that when Ralph Blumenthal contacted me, he was talking more about the Admiral Wilson smoking gun UFO memo of the century and maybe following up on that as far as the veracity, the truth of the documents and the information in the memo, the Admiral Wilson memo. So I was thinking that's what it was going to be about. And they took a strange turn in that follow-up article of the New York Times. And of course they talked about, the government, you know, spending more time, you know, in putting together this, ATIP program and then coming up with, the task force now that's supposedly going to report back to Congress, you know, about what's really going on, and they're trying to get some transparency. But there wasn't really any meat until you got three quarters of the way through, when out of the blue they bring out Eric Davis, who normally they don't talk about in the New York Times. Eric Davis, of course, is, you know, the guy that's got all the credibility in the world, you know, as far as going all the way back to the Avery and NIDS and Bass, you know, and Hal Putoff and all these kind of guys. He's the inside government scientist that should know what's going on. And literally when they quoted him as saying that, oh, by the way, we do have in our possession, the U.S. military and deep state, we have extraterrestrial craft that's been retrieved And we are in the process of reverse engineering it. Now, I don't know if you heard recently what happened with the follow-up that Jay did from Project Unity with Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, because he indeed got a follow-up, the first follow-up interview with those two New York Times journalists after they came out with the follow-up article, because he wanted to pin them down on some of the really incredible, you know, things that they were disclosing. And they kind of backed off a bit from their statements, not from Eric Davis's statements, but the fact that, oh yeah, we do, I guess, have some retrieved alien technology, but we really don't know what it is, you know. So they're saying they've had a hard time in this whole process, which, by the way, Bob Lazar mentioned that, you know, 30 years ago, that they literally have this stuff, but they really don't know what it does, and they're having a difficult time reverse engineering it. So that seems to fall into place with what the New York Times is currently saying. But the fact is that they've confirmed to everybody and their brother that the Department of Defense and the Pentagon are sitting on alien craft.
Now Wendy, I've got an echo right now.
Yes, we all have an echo. Is it working now? Yeah, it goes with Craig. Before, okay, so back to what you were saying before about the Navy's freaking out and stuff like that. I don't know if you've noticed recently, I was watching a show, and there was an advertisement for the military, you know, like Army, Navy, you know, Air Force, Marines. And then all of a sudden, you see in Coast Guard, and then right there it says Space Force. I had to rewind it. I'm like, whoa, we're advertising for Space Force now? It was a joke 3 years ago, and now it's like, no, we're recruiting for Space Force. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. Why is this just like nonchalantly being thrown out? Like, oh, yeah, come recruit for Space Force. It's crazy.
Isn't that interesting? Because,
nonchalant. Just, hey, Space Force.
Trump made that big announcement and made kind of a big deal out of it at the time. Matter of fact, I tell you what, my 21-year-old son went nuts. He goes, oh, my God, I got to jump on that, you know. Yeah. But you didn't hear anything about it afterwards. You go talk with a recruiter, and they didn't know anything about it as well. Yep. Yeah. And so that was very strange that there wasn't any follow-up on that big. That's another example of what we were just talking about, building something up in the public's mind and then kind of like pulling it back at the last minute. And I think a lot of it has to do with just they want to know what the reaction is. They're doing the algorithm studies of seeing how people are going to react to the big bombshell eventually, which can't be that far away, that, oh, by the way, yeah, we've been visited on this planet by alien civilizations for eons.
Yeah, our joke was, you know, about, you know, how you have, you know, like you said, he's like, how slowly ready to say, how are people going to react? Well, COVID showed that we're not ready for this. I mean, respiratory disease, and we thoroughly wiped out the toilet paper section. I mean, we just cleaned that out. And so I could only imagine what somebody's like, here we go. I want you to, I'm going to introduce you to Steve over here, and here's this gray alien. You know, I can just imagine the chaos that would happen from that.
But well, you said before, you know, we've probably been visited, like with Dina Ray's book about, you know, back in the 40s, the Nazis, you know, apparently it was a fictional book about how they were working with them and stuff. And it's like, we've probably been working with them and knew about them. But like you said, they don't know how to portray to us. This COVID thing happened. They see how we reacted. They're like, all right, we got to wait a little bit because they don't know how to react to a COVID outbreak, let alone here's an alien from outer space.
But we need to give Austin a hand. I mean, that was a perfect segue. How he brought up the Nazis back in the 40s. I go, that brings us right into Antarctica, which we brought him on to talk about, because that was one of the you know, the things. And for anybody that's not aware of Operation High Jump, we'll just kind of, you know, but right before we get to this, you know, Hitler in the 30s, he decides to send, I mean, we're talking like luxury liner at the time, groups of Germans to Antarctica why this isn't, you know, this is a frozen wasteland for what everybody knows, and you're going to descend all these people. Well, there's the talk that there is something there. There's something known. And this can go back to even to, this is a continent that was in another location. So obviously something could be buried, because they found, I mean, most people talk, it's the, I always screw up that term. It's that one where you see stuff and you think it's something that it isn't, like the August picture of the ice ship, you know, and it's just a chunk of ice.
Pareidolia.
Yeah. Pareidolia. Yeah. And it's there. They see stuff like the pyramid. I mean, that looks like a pyramid.
Yeah.
That's buried under the ice. And, you know, so I clearly see that. And we talked about that episode. So, you know, here's Hitler. He sends all this stuff here. Now we fast forward a couple of years, and now Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd is tasked with taking what's considered just a primary mission of just exploration. Well, who sends, you know, this Task Force 68, 4,700, you know, personnel, 13 ships, 33 aircraft, and they didn't even take the time to ensure that they had the stuff that they needed, the icebreakers and the stuff that this was like a rush, get down there now. So that's where I want to bring you in. What do you think was the biggest reason for the we're going now? You know, we don't have what we need. Go now. Go, go, go.
Yeah. And that is really a strange idea that, see, Admiral Byrd was famous already, right? For his expeditions in that regard, going to the North Pole, you know, those kinds of things. So this was the perfect guy because he was shown that he could survive. He could command a troop underneath these really adverse conditions. So I think they probably picked their best bet of what was going on and threw it down there, because something major was going on that they had to check out. Now, here's an interesting thing is, I don't know if you've ever checked out Admiral Byrd's actual diary of that event, of that trip. His son, by the way, his son, I forget his son's name. It's not the same. He's not a junior. It's a different name than his father. He actually was one of the officers in Project Blue Book, believe it or not, into the study of UFOs for the Air Force. This is Admiral Byrd's son. And he literally is the one that preserved his father's diary of this entire event. And I don't know if you've read the diary, but I'll tell you what, I can paraphrase some of the stuff that happened to this flight that literally went down there. Of course, Admiral Byrd is flying in a craft with his a big B-29 or whatever, you know, a major aircraft, along with the other flotillas down there. And literally they are flying, trying to figure out how to get there and land. And they literally mention in the diary that at one point everything turns green and there is no ice and there is sunshine, literally almost, he says, coming up out of the ground. Okay. And they are able to not necessarily land on their own. They are taken control of by silver disc objects that are flying alongside them as they get over this strange area. Then, of course, what happens is to make a long story short, he says that he is forced to land. He is met at some kind of a tarmac by German speaking. Get that, German speaking humans that look just like us. And they're telling him that this is New Schwabenland. This is something to do with German technology. And they show them around and actually take them into the earth, under the earth at one point, to show them what's going on. So it is fascinating to me to think that that could possibly still be some kind of a portal down there that or an opening into the inner earth. You know, who knows about the earth itself and what's down there? We've all heard those stories of alien races living within the planet. And of course, indigenous tribes in North America, even American Indians, say that they emerged from the planet with the help of the ant people. And that's how they actually came to the surface of this world. So I am fascinating to think that Linda Moulton Howe, by the way, is just on top of this big time. If you'll notice, she's got a lot of these super soldier guys kind of coming out with whistleblower facts of, you know, ancient technology and artifacts under the ice down there. And of course, all of our politicians, if they have anything going on in their political career at all, are spirited away down to Antarctica periodically and given tours down there.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, all the time. As a matter of fact, one of them was one of the astronauts, the one that's still alive, not Buzz Aldrin. Edward Mitchell. Buzz, it might be Buzz Aldrin. I think he was one of the guys that was taken down there and totally amazed on what he found. And he said he couldn't talk about all of it. But literally, there are people, including Kerry, when he was in office, and some major politicians that are in the know get periodically flights down there. Matter of fact, there's that one story of this whistleblower pilot that used to do these kinds of flights down there and would take scientific crews down to these bases in Antarctica. When he mentioned that there was a no-fly zone that they could not go near, even when they're bringing in the scientists to drop them off, you know, for the studies. And he says they got really close to one of the no-fly zones and were jumped all over by the military officials for doing so. But at one point, they literally were sent in to rescue a group of like 15 scientists that went missing for 2 weeks. I don't know if you heard that story. That was just amazing.
Wow. It kind of leads like what you're talking about, you know, this stuff. Because supposedly, I mean, not supposedly, I mean, we know that Germans made it down there during that time. And I think we talked about this a little bit on the last time you were on here, where for anybody that doesn't realize, we were not years away. We were, as some people think, weeks, if not as, you know, as long as maybe a month or two from potentially losing the war, because Germany was so fast advancing their capabilities, because they were working on rockets at the time when we were still in our, fighter planes. They're actually working on modern, jet propulsion. And so they would have dominated. And if this is the case and these scientists made it down there, we're talking, they've already got a head start on everybody. So where we're at in the 50s, we could probably, you'd probably think they're 70s, they're the technology we have in the 70s and 80s. They've got down to the time that we're just coming out with our first jet craft. They've already got it. They're already way above it.
As a matter of fact, to prove that, if you, like I said, we like to connect the dots here, you know, whether it's before or after the fact. To prove the fact that, Project Paperclip it literally kind of divvied out the German scientists after World War II to help with both sides, you know, the Russians, the U.S.'s military and space races. We literally didn't get these scientists that were the real rocket scientists. We got von Braun and all those kind of guys that were doing a good job. But literally, even up till recently, we were using the Russian solid rocket boosters rather than our own to get to the moon. If you don't know that. I mean, they had the better rocket scientists in Germany after the war, and presumably, of course, before the war. And literally, they you're correct that they were advancing so quickly in certain areas that might have put a big dent in the fact that the United States might have maybe gone to the negotiation table a little earlier, for instance, if they weren't able to pull out the big surprise of the nuclear blasts at the time. Yep. Yeah, fascinating stuff to know when you're talking about the real history of what's going on. And of course, the rumors are that the Germans literally started out with their technological advancements when they created these submarines that were so advanced compared to the submarine vehicles that we had at the time. And they supposedly got this technology from the aliens in 1930. That's what the Vril Society was all about. They were actually communicating with an alien race that got them call all hyped up in the first place that they could actually become a world power.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, it's like you said, like connecting dots. This one was back from January. There's an underwater robot that went in that they sent in there, and they revealed that there was a 700 meter hole that was being melted away by this warm water. Well, obviously, geothermal, there's going to be some geothermal pockets, like you said. So it is entirely, you know, within the realm of possibility that you could have a facility. I mean, we'll use pop culture, Star Wars, the Hoth base. You could easily have something that is under there. Everybody's like, it's a frozen wasteland. Not if you have geothermal heating. There was lots of rumors that the German Nazis, they knew how to get in some of these holes through submarines, and they built these bases in Antarctica. And that was where the Operation High Jump, this one was sent down because this was a threat. You know, the Reich was rebuilding in an area unchecked because all these people are coming from Germany down to this continent where there's no presence. We've got to get something down there now, because when you see some of the, as you know, I don't know if we'll have time to get into a lot of this stuff, but as you see some of the tests that they're running, this isn't just some group that's setting up and doing a nice core sample. They're going through systematically trying to find something. I mean, they're gritting stuff out. They aren't just going around, hey guys, we're going to stick our flag here. Let's put up the tents here. Okay. You know, we'll walk around, we'll make a show of it with the press, and then we'll head home. I mean, you're talking aircraft that are going out, and there's many reports where when you get back, what'd you see? Can't talk about it.
Oh yeah. Matter of fact, most people probably don't know, but the largest freshwater lake on the planet is under Antarctica, Lake Vostok. I don't know if you've heard of this freshwater lake that's, I don't know how many miles down under the ice that they have confirmed exists down there. And who knows whether the Germans were able to use their technology to get into that large, huge cavity under the ice with their submarines at the time and carve out these major, you know, what they're thinking there could be major bases underneath the ice that, number one, could be alien to begin with and may have been there for eons that we're now just discovering, or there is man-made bases as well. I remember a really cool X-Files episode, one of the first movies that X-Files did, about this Antarctica UFO that was buried in the ice. It was massive. Oh man, that was an awesome thing to think that Chris Carter, who I believe gets a lot of tips from, you know, the deep state on what some of his scripts could be like, was kind of tipping us off in that regard on some of that stuff.
We have a mutual friend, Joey. You know, Maddie. Those guys are, you know, he's on there. And when we had We had him and his wife Tanya on there. We were talking about that. That he is, you know, he's kind of, if I hope I'm quoting him correctly, but you know, where he's pretty sure that Chris Carter, you know, Spielberg, those ones, they're actually being used as a way of disseminating this information out, kind of doing that same thing, to slowly getting people used to, you know, slowly feeding, and then eventually you're inoculated for it and it's not a shock.
You know, that is what Hollywood is all about. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but literally after going to college up here in the Pacific Northwest, I went to Hollywood for a decade or so and kind of hung out down there. And at one point I was a tour guide at Universal Studios.
Nice.
And so you get all the advanced info on the new movies coming out, you know, and all the premieres that happen, you know, as far as a new film coming out. This is the old days, you know, in the 80s, the 70s and the 80s, they made a big deal out of movie, premieres. And of course the tour guides, we would get our own premiere prior to the main one so that we could talk up the new stuff with all the tourists from around the planet. But I remember this one famous story that we all heard, because Steven Spielberg was on the lot as a young man when I was a tour guide. I was a little bit probably older than him. I was 26, 27. He was about 25 years old when literally he is doing all of his amazing stuff. There's a cool story about how he actually got on the lot. It started. We can go there later. But literally, when they did the premiere for Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the scuttlebutt around there for the tour guides like myself were, you know what? Ronald Reagan was here last week, and he saw the premiere, the private premiere with Steven Spielberg of the Final Cut. And supposedly Ronald Reagan leans over to Spielberg after the screening and he says, you and I are probably one of the only two or three people in this room that really know how true this movie is.
We all heard
stories. Can you imagine Ronald Reagan and Spielberg?
That's awesome.
And it's, you know, it's funny to say that, you know, because Joey, he was the same thing. You know, they brought up that where he's convinced that, you know, and he's made a believer of me that Close Encounters of the Third Kind was, in fact, you know, that predictive programming, that this was something that was done to where we have to figure out how to get this out to the people, because they're going to find out. So why not start giving them to them? In this little, feed them these little pieces, just get this thing, you know, they're going to, and when it comes to it, when you're doing this thing, people are going to be like, oh, seriously, you're one of those people that believes in the devil's tower and the aliens, you know, you put your tinfoil hat on, crazy man. And when in fact, they're actually telling you, like he said, this occurred. It may not have happened at Devil's Tower, North, you know, Dakota, but this occurred.
Yeah, no, they are literally not only predictive programming, they are literally trying to get people prepared for their version, their spin of reality. That's what's going on. You know? I mean, I don't know if you guys know what's going on with mainstream television and Netflix series and all this thing. The real bottom line is, feudal. The idea that resistance is futile. That's the bottom line of all the zombie films, all the, you know, various series out there that basically we're dealing with on Netflix. The idea being that we need to be rescued from some outside force. That's the theme of television right now. What they want to do is they want to keep you afraid. The evil alien agenda, and they want you to understand in your heart that no matter what we do, we can't fight back. So we're going to need Big Brother, our deep state government, to take care of us. That's the bottom line.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Well, just going back to what you said earlier, I forgot my question. Oh, why are we so behind America? behind on the Germans and the Russians, especially when it comes to space programs. We've always relied on them for the most part. Why is our technology so behind?
Currently, you mean?
Well, yeah, like especially in the 1940s, you're talking about they're building bombs and we were behind. Oh, yeah. We were using their rocket program. And up until SpaceX, we were still paying millions of dollars to launch Americans on Russian soil. Why?
Yeah. Well, see, all that stuff is just smokescreen.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go through the timeline. Literally, when you can think back, connect the dots of the 1930s, all of a sudden the Germans were technologically savvy for some reason. I mean, German technology, as far as automobiles go, was par none. You know, I mean, they have jumped ahead of most of the world at one point back in the 1930s. So basically, at one point at that time, Germany had some secrets, I think, that they didn't want to allow anybody else to have. Then all of a sudden, what happens to us on this continent? 1947, 1945, actually, we set off the atomic age, you know, through our technology, right? Mm-hmm. Shortly thereafter, we are inundated here in the North American continent with UFOs. It started in Portland, Oregon. It went to Roswell, New Mexico. It went to the Northwest up here where I live in Puget Sound. All of a sudden, you know, a lot of people don't know. There is a very famous researcher up here in our neck of the woods, Maureen Morgan, who is the head of MUFON for the state of Washington. She did some studying about the 1947 UFO flap, you know, mm-hmm. in America. And it started here in the Pacific Northwest, but literally within a week of Roswell, New Mexico, or a week of Kenneth Arnold back in June of 1947, there were over 3,000 sightings of UFOs within that week. All of a sudden, it was like the universe showed up here when we did the bomb explosion. Okay.
And that's kind of like, just real quick, I was going to tell you, because there's also, I wish I could attribute it who thought of this, you know, and said this, but they think that too, right before that, we kind of, the term ring, you once you ring the bell, the Nazi bell, they think that the Germans used it. And that was like the first beacon that, you know, hey, we're here, you know, we're doing something that's, you know. And then the nuclear age, like you said, all of a sudden we start setting off nuclear devices. And there's always been that theory that a nuclear explosion doesn't just affect our dimension and our universe, that this actually has a space-time, you know, dimensional ripple effect, to where, like, when you drop a pebble into the water, you see it on the outside, you know, you see the thing. But there's still stuff underneath, and you see the waves that go out. And so somebody on the other side of the lake, eventually there's a little stronger of a wave. I mean, it's felt beyond where you just attack. And so that's the thing with the Germans. I think the Germans, why, like you said, the 40s, why all of a sudden all these UFOs, I think they did something. And this person even thought that they may have even changed our entire time, to where all of a sudden, because we go from vacuum tubes to transistors. I mean, almost overnight, and to where there's no like smaller tubes. All of a sudden, hey, we found the transistor. No, we went from these giant vacuum tubes to suddenly we're in the computer age. We just
exactly. And of course, as soon as Tesla died, they raided his apartment and, you know, got to his paperwork as well. And that was fascinating. But I think you put your finger on it there, Craig. The idea that literally. We weren't just all of a sudden messing around with our own environment. The kids found the matches. Oh my God, they're going to burn down the entire universe if we don't stop them. You know, if we don't figure out what's going on here. I think that was the main thing that was going on here. And that's, of course, where you hear about all these ideas of getting a treaty together with Eisenhower, you know, hey, you guys got to slow down here. We'll help you with technology if you allow us just to do a few abductions, you know, of your personnel so we can do some studies and stuff. But yeah, it, you know, when you think about it, my goodness, 1940s is not that long ago. I mean, there are people that are still alive, including myself, who was born in 1952, who still remember what it was like to be, you know, have relatives alive in 1940s, right after the war, and all the fast-breaking technology that we literally have lived through at this point in our career, our times, is just astounding, totally astounding.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw that quote from Joey, but yeah, where he's, the 1946 was also the Jack Parsons, you know, Babylon working. So, you know, just the, one of the, I think if I remember right, he was the founder of JPL, wasn't he?
That's what J for JPL stands for, Jack Parsons. And yeah. A good buddy of all these strange paranormal guys, you know, also that were into the dark side of the paranormal. Let's put it that way. Aleister Crowley was a good buddy and colleague of Jack Parsons. These are the guys that were in the cutting edge of reality back in the 40s and literally were kind of treading on the idea of, for instance, the Viril Society in Germany was contacting aliens supposedly through these women, you know, that were doing that and these other people as well. And Aleister Crowley was definitely doing that.
So would you say that there would be, could there possibly be that connection between all these things where Hitler was massively into the occult? He was obsessed. And so now you've got, even on the US side, you've got that occult connection. Is there something to where this is, you know, the divine, this is the other side, you know, the other side of the veil. We're trying to pull this, you know, Tesla, the thing that we're pretty, I'm convinced that people like Tesla, Einstein, to a little effect, Leonardo da Vinci, you go with Edward Casey a little bit, to where I think they're tapping into the Akashic record. And they're actually downloading. Some people can take a massive amount of information and be able to function, but over time it affects you, because I think that's why Tesla went crazy and ended up falling in love with a pigeon in the very end, is because it was that type of thing where it's just, you have, you know, I'll go pop culture, Stargate. If anybody remembers the episode where Jack comes in contact with the Asgardians, and all that information is downloaded in his head, and he just starts going nuts. You know, he just starts losing it, because our brains aren't designed to handle all this information. And I think that's where some of those people, and that's where I'm wondering, sorry, that was a little long-winded of a thing here, but it's just, that's where I'm wondering if there isn't a little bit more of a connection, because you're seeing a common theme here. Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, Hitler, you're going through what's the thing that every single one of these people have in common? The occult. They're dabbling in something that is a connecting factor to these people.
Bingo. And I'll tell you what, that is what's scaring the heck out of the powers that be, I believe. Because if it's correct that we really don't know the details of how this technology works, we're not able to really even define it, you know, correctly. There are people like Tom DeLonge now with To the Stars Academy. I don't know if you've ever heard of some of the strange things that Tom DeLonge has mentioned. The idea that this stuff that he knows is so weird that literally if the public knew this, they would freak out. You know, that's the bottom line of what one of his messages is. So indeed, and Joey Matteo was mentioning also in one of his little posts there that L. Ron Hubbard was also in this group, this, mm-hmm. you know, Scientology guy, probably the most prolific, you know, writer of all time as far as it comes to the strange, you know, stories, science fiction stories and that kind of thing. Literally, I don't know if you've known how powerful some of the Scientologists are within Hollywood right now.
Oh, yeah, big. Yeah.
And within the back of the political atmosphere that's going on, along with some right-wing Christians as well. There's a big group behind the scenes that you would have no idea that are involved. You've heard of the white hats and the black hats and the gray hats and the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. Those are specific groups out there that literally are kind of warring amongst themselves for control of this scenario that literally could be very, very weird and strange. So I have a feeling, and I'm you know, one of these conspiracy theorists and stuff that literally try to put the dots together, but I'm of the opinion as well that I have no idea what's really going on, and I got to keep an open mind as well.
Yeah, I agree.
There's always something to surprise us. You know, we've got to keep that open mind and try to connect every little dot that we get, try to make something happen.
Yeah, and here's another little tidbit that I'll throw out with you as well. Every once in a while, you'll hear things like, for instance, the Admiral Wilson smoking gun memo that we're all familiar with, you know. The Admiral Wilson at one point is mentioned in the notes of Dr. Eric Davis that at the very end of the memo, matter of fact, this is on page 15 of the memo. The very last page is a curveball thrown in there that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they're talking about reverse engineering of alien craft, the fact that they're having a difficult time figuring out what it does and all that stuff, but they've had it for decades and eons and they're trying to figure it out. And at the very end of the memo, Jacques Gansler, who is a Pentagon official, goes to Admiral Wilson, one of his colleagues, and tries to talk Wilson down because Wilson is so mad at this time that he's been denied access to reverse engineering programs of UFOs that he's about ready to blow the whistle, I believe. Admiral Wilson at one point, whether he ever did or would ever do, I don't know, but I think he was very frustrated at one point. So they sent a buddy of his, Jacques Gansler, to talk with Admiral Wilson. Guess what Jacques Gansler told Admiral Wilson? Let this go. It is true that we've got aliens visiting the planet, you know, extraterrestrials, but alien abductions don't exist. I don't know if you remember that curveball, Admiral Wilson's smoking gun memo. Alien abductions don't exist. Now, when I first hear that, I'm thinking, oh my, this has got to be some kind of disinformation that they're throwing in to Admiral Wilson at the last minute, just in case, for instance, he decides to go rogue, you know, and he's out there, you know, talking to the UFO community about, you know, yeah, aliens exist, but no, there's no abductions, you know, so the alien community is going to discount what he says. It could be disinformation, right? But then again, I've heard this before. Back in the 60s, not the 60s, the 70s and 80s, I've heard a few other people saying the alien abduction experience is not what you think it is. So you got to keep your mind open again.
Yeah.
But, you know, this would be the time with everything going on in the media and everything going on to introduce us to aliens. Nothing would surprise us with the way this year's been going to be like, hey, they do exist. His name is John. He's a creature from I don't know where. But the everything that's been going on this year, nothing would surprise us.
Well, here's an interesting thought in that regard, Chris, because a lot of us have thought of this. What if, one way or another, whether Trump gets reelected, whether Biden gets elected, let's face it, at least half the people in the United States are going to be up in arms, one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. What if they need something to get our mind off of the recent election that just happened? And they literally come out with a big announcement, oh, by the way, that is going to kind of be a distraction that can't be beat as far as you know, the whole idea of people worried about who's president of the United States.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, in that kind of thing, it's, you know, I'm in a little bit of a, you know, worried thing because, you know, we talked in the beginning of the show about the moon announcement. I was so disappointed in people's reactions when they announced that they found an organic compound in the sky of, in the sky, in the atmosphere of Venus. Something that is not naturally, it isn't just going to naturally occur. It has to come through a decaying process. And I was joking around. I go, Project Solar Warden made a mistake and they dumped the toilet accidentally where they shouldn't have. And, you know, it showed up, you know, in a trace amount and somebody was spotted it. And at that point they're like, yeah, we found something.
Interesting.
Well, you know, and isn't that interesting that it's Venus that they get that from? I don't know if you know the whole story of Valiant Thor, the stranger at the Pentagon. I'll tell you what, this is the weirdest story that I've ever run across that has been corroborated by lots of different writers and literally people in the Pentagon. There was a guy back in 1957 named Valiant Thor who landed outside of Alexandria, Virginia, in a spaceship, waved down two state troopers, and was taken to the Pentagon. I don't know if you heard that story. A guy named Dr. Frank Stranges wrote this amazing book called The Stranger at the Pentagon.
I'm looking at it right now. I might have to buy this one to read this one. So that's
it's a very easy read. Matter of fact, it's on. What I do is I love to get it on audio. Audible, you know, on audiobooks, so I can just listen to it at night over and over again because there is so much information in this book. This Valiant Thor guy says, literally, he's from Venus. He lives on Venus, and under the cloud level, there is an atmosphere. And literally, he says that we are here from planet Venus to help you guys get through this shift in consciousness that you're going to have to go through one way or another. And literally he became a guest of the Pentagon, living at the Pentagon for 3 years, teaching the American brass and military about what's going on in the our nearby galaxy and Milky Way. Yeah, so the fact that you talked about Venus having some kind of scientific biological proof of something that's living on the planet portends with what's going on here and some of these old stories from the 1950s of Valiant Thor.
Yeah,
yeah,
there's that echo. It's crazy.
I don't hear it at all at this end. So you're
okay. That's good. So it's probably just my end. So that's good. What I'm thinking is, you know, kind of back and forth what we're talking about. I'm still thinking about like the occult. I'm wondering when we talked about you saw the pyramids, you saw this, if this is the same type of thing where there is these structures underneath the ice that have been found. They've been tied in because there was, I want to say it was Bob Lazar that talked about the craft that could go from pole to pole, you know, almost instantaneously. And that's one of the, you mentioned it too, that what if in the process of doing this occult, something was discovered down there that propelled them even further. And a lot of these UFO sightings that we're getting from some of the things might be this, you know, new version of that a German race that's down there. And these are the ones that are coming through. And those were the crashes. And then that's also why there's been such a big cover-up is, once again, we acknowledge the existence of these. We have to acknowledge what's down below.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is another great book that you've got to get by Brandon. What's his name? He's an ex-CIA guy. Brandon Chase is his name. Chase. He wrote the Cryptos Conundrum, which is all about, by the way, this guy is ex-CIA for 30 years. And who knows if you're ever ex-CIA, you know? You just
I don't think they just let you go like that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think so. He wrote a book all about the idea that there is a long suppressed alien race living within the Earth that literally has been messing with us for eons. And literally he came up with this, there it is, Cryptos Conundrum by Chase Brandon. It is a fascinating book because there in this book, the protagonist in the story is a CIA agent, probably patterned after himself, who knows what's going on, who literally ends up through tweaking through biology and technology, living to be about 150 years old, and is able to, in the background, while he's working in the CIA, bring this entire program of trying to capture and understand this alien race under the Earth behind the scenes. And I always wonder, you know, why does a CIA operative write a book about that? And how does he get it vetted by the CIA and allow it to come out if there's not some kind of predictive, you know, possibilities on the story itself?
What are those kind of like we're talking like predictive programming? What if this is something where the same thing? I can do it as a story. It's a crazy thing. It's a little thing, but I'm feeding you once again this little piece, and you're like, oh wait a minute, that's kind of like what was in that book. Bingo. That's why we did it, is because now you are prepared for this, and that makes sense, because I've often wondered, like back Bob Lazar. You know, this guy, you know, was he just extremely lucky and listened to the right person that told him? It's like you're at this point where you've got to either go all in or you're dead. But, you know, and then one thing that to me that I'm kind of in the thing is like, I don't know if so much if it's that case or if this is what we want you to do. Because for somebody who's wanting to spill what's going on, why won't he talk about New Mexico? Anybody that ever brings up Los Alamos Laboratory, he immediately shuts down. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to say anything about it. So that's either something that is so scary, and any mention of it, you're taken out. You know, your brakes fail. Or he was meant to come out and talk about the stuff he saw in Nevada, but not the stuff that happens in New Mexico.
So, but you guys are talking about, you know, like Steven Spielberg and Ronald Reagan slowly, like, giving us this information. Then how come, like, people like us that try to portray, you know, tell everybody else about it, we're the weirdos, we're the crazy people. In reality, we're trying to help them out, but we're portrayed as the crazy people. Why is that? You know?
Because... Austin, you're way ahead of the curve here. That's what it is. Like, there are certain people that are awake, that know what's going on. You guys are, you know, the cream of the crop in that regard, and they can't go there yet. You know, they have an agenda, they have a time frame, they have certain things that need to tick off first before they can. Because here's the deal. The American public is so powerful, so ominous, they realize there's too much there if they're pushed too far. The blowback would make the Nuremberg trials look like Disneyland if they pushed it too far. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's just crazy.
I mean, it's, you know, it kind of, you know, because I keep, you know, like I said, in my head, I've got all these little, you know, I've got all these little tangents I'm trying to, you know, trying to keep straight. It's the one, do you think that during the we're going to keep it, the expedition of Admiral Byrd, do you think what they found, part of what they found is at that Los Alamos National laboratory that this is some of the stuff that they're working on. They found something down there, and this is because as quickly as it showed up, they weren't, you know, they packed up everything and took off.
Oh yeah, they came out of there with their tail between their legs as fast as they possibly could. It was a miracle that they didn't lose a bunch of soldiers during that period of time. I'm amazed. It's almost like a Shackleton experience where these guys were miraculously saved from whatever the aerial combat was that drove them out of there so quickly. I don't know if the same technology is being studied, you know, at Los Alamos or Area 51 or wherever, but you can well imagine that they have got underground dumb bases, deep underground military bases that are studying all sorts of things. And I think they're probably, you know, if indeed we're talking about 22 separate body types of human beings that live on our planet, potentially being visited by 22 different versions of aliens throughout the eons, that literally we might have a few races that are on our side helping us through this process, including the valiant Thors out there who are literally trying to help us get through some of these negative experiences with some of these extraterrestrial races, like, for instance, you know, the Dracoids or whatever the guys, you know, the reptilians that might want to eat us. Who knows, you know, what's going on. I can't imagine that there is a black and white situation in the universe that reflects all the diversity that we've got on the planet. Because if we've got diversity on the planet, we've got diversity in our local universe as well, I think.
I want to show this here. For anybody that doesn't believe like we could dig these kind of tunnels, this is in Michigan. This is a salt mine. So you can see the size of this tunnel. This is not a crazy, everybody talks about, okay, this is a crazy conspiracy. You know, we don't have these tunnels. These are right here. There, I could bring up tons of pictures. Romania, there's all these mines right here. So what is, there's rumor that we did an episode on the the Denver International Airport. The mystery, because it's like you're talking about the tunnels. Here they built an entire airport, and then suddenly there's a problem. So what do? You don't tear it down. We completely bury this entire superstructure and build a whole other structure right on top of it. So anybody that knows code, and I'm going to, you know, come on here a little bit on the lawyer thing. How easily could you win a case against a place when you build another superstructure on top of another superstructure that isn't up to code? How easily would it be to win that lawsuit for you? Just said.
It all depends on who the judges are and who the prosecutor is and whether you can actually get through discovery the information that you need to make a slam dunk case. Yeah.
Yeah, so here's a structure that's, you know, 3 to 4 stories at least tall, buried with all these tunnels. And there's, you know, there's reports that we have the high-speed trains that go from this massive airport to Cheyenne Mountain to other locations. I mean, there's even one that as far as they think that there might even be a tunnel that connects to a location in Nevada.
Oh yeah,
and possibly, you know, and
supposedly we got these maglev underground transportation systems. You can go across the United States in a matter of minutes, supposedly. Yeah. You know, and all over the world. So I mean, we've all heard those rumors, and it makes a whole lot of sense when you're talking about all the money and the deep black budgets that I mean, how many hundreds of trillions of dollars go missing every year that we never know, you know, where they're going.
Yeah, so yeah, and you know, and I'll show that picture again. So picture Antarctica, kind of go back to the saying, this could easily be a picture of not salt. This could be a picture of, you know, if you're looking at this thing, that could be snow. You could have this type of a whole system going all across this vast area in Antarctica. and satellites going over, you're not going to see this because this is miles underneath the snow, just down there.
And think of this. I don't know if you can go back to that photo for just a second, but if you take a look at that photo and you realize that literally they have boring machines that are bigger in diameter than what you see in this cavern right here. They have boring machines that will put a massive hole through solid rock and vitrify the rock as it goes so that you don't even have to worry about it collapsing on itself. And literally they can go, I don't know how fast they can bore it, but they can create these environments, whether it's a tunnel, whether it's an actual base that they can, you know, create anywhere they want on the planet.
Yeah. You see some of these structures and you're just, you know, cause, and that's where it is. I wanted to talk, you know, just bring that, why I brought those up is like the people that think you're crazy, you know, say you're crazy and this isn't here. It's like that we've got pictures that show you. I mean, how many times do we have to show you what they're currently doing before you start realizing that what's being proposed out there really isn't that far fetched? It's really not that crazy. I mean, yeah. Is it crazy to say, okay, we've got, you know, 75 different alien species that are, you know, currently visiting us all like Men in Black style. We've got an airport where I go, I've always been the one where I'm a bigger proponent of the more we can debunk, the more what's actually left over has so much more of a, you know,
value.
A part, yeah, value is a great, you know, a pretty way to do it. Because one of those things is like, yeah, we can come up with those things, but I've always asked the question, how do we know this? You talk about all these races. How do you know this? Because if you can't tell me where this information is coming from, I go, you know, this, the dude that knows a dude that's hanging out on the corner has talked to three of these types of aliens isn't going to work. Nobody's going to believe you.
Yeah. No, that's where you need to be discerning on your own. Gather the information from a lot of sources, just like you guys do. You grab information on all sorts of subjects, file it away in your best filing system you got is your brain right between your two ears. And when all of a sudden things start, connecting, then you start going further and you realize, oh, my word, this is what I heard at one point. Now I'm hearing something else that might be totally unrelated, but it might relate back to, you know, something else I heard. So it's fascinating how you can actually, if you're discerning enough, you know, connect the dots.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of without getting too, you know, too long-winded on, you know, opening up a big question here. So what do you think is the end game down there? I mean, do you think that there is another civilization that has, you know, like you were saying, there's a whole ecosystem down there that's being hidden? Because we've got all these, I think, I'm going to botch this. I want to say it's 12. I think it's 12 countries that have signed the treaty down there. And they divided up Antarctica in these sections. They've all signed the treaty that no military excursions can come out. Well, we all know scientific missions are always, you know, it's kind of funny how everybody that's in there is carrying massive, you know, weaponry and all sorts of, you know, military equipment. They're not, you know, they're not going there with just, you know, stethoscopes and, you know, binoculars, you know, they're not just looking here and I got my microscope. I'm going to take this little slide. It's like, no, they're going in for some reason other than science. So what do you think is that we could see potentially as the news coming out of there, that what's down there?
Well, I mean, obviously the powers that be are going to control that spin on the news that's coming out. Whether it's the truth or not is something else. But, you know, obviously they are probably at one point. See, here's my kind of bottom line on this stuff. I believe the fact that we are seeing in the mainstream media a red pilling of the public so quickly on these subjects that we're talking about. I mean, you would never have heard anything about Antarctica if they didn't want you to. Okay. I mean, they know that they can keep secrets. They can keep secrets on the atomic bomb. They can keep secrets on Roswell, New Mexico, whatever. They can do that for a period of time. So in reality, there is an agenda that is being proffered that basically is going to bring out some spin on what's really happening. But the bottom line for me is two things. Either something major has already happened on our planet, and they know that the truth is going to get out, and they have to get ahead of the spin, or something major is about to happen on our planet. And literally, they don't have a lot of time to get people up to speed. That's why they're pushing the envelope like we have never seen it before. In all the research I've ever done over the decades since the 70s into this whole field, I have never seen it pushed so quickly. The fact that they're confirming the existence of aliens, and we've got craft that were reverse engineering that is not made on this planet. You would never have seen or heard about that even 3 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to get down there, and that's always been the thing that's fascinated me, is just here we have something that is one of the largest land masses on the planet, and you and I can't just go down there and explore. You know, you have to go. I mean, it's terror. You know, it's not what has, but it's literally an act of Congress, you know, is what is required for you to be able to go down and do any sort of expedition on your own. You can't just, you know, the four of us can't just pool our money together and go grab some snowmobiles and go down and, you know, make a couple weeks of it. They won't let you.
So why do you think that is? I mean, we kind of went off on a different punchline, different tangent. Why do you think that the average person can't just go and explore there? What are they hiding? What is the mystery of what is hidden there? That why we can't go look for ourselves?
Well, that's the $64,000 question that I just dated myself by saying that. I don't know if you remember that television show from the 60s. Anyway, that's the real bottom line is that, and I think it's probably just one mystery that's down there. I don't think that's the full mystery that we're dealing with on the planet, but I think that's kind of where the mystery kind of comes to the surface a lot because of how isolated it is, that it can get away with coming to the surface down in Antarctica a lot more than it can if it showed up in Poughkeepsie, Illinois, you know, overnight. So, but I think obviously it's going to be proof, literally, of the fact that potentially our planet is not even our planet. That we are latecomers to this ecological and, evolutionary process, that there are older and wiser civilizations that have been on this planet for a long time that we are now just going to have to deal with in our reality, and let alone whether it's even the same reality that we think it is, three-dimensional. Maybe it's four and five and 10-dimensional reality that we need to worry about.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm even more interested. You know, I want to dig into it. You know, the thing is, because there's so many. I mean, as we were talking, I was bringing up some of the mysteries that they're talking about, and it's just the things that they found.
You know what you might want to do, Craig, because it sounds to me you have this burning desire to really get in deep on this one, and I'll tell you what. There are certain sources, for instance, like Guliano Marinkovic. I don't know if he's like, you know, the Google of the internet. He knows just about every single article that's ever been written on the paranormal or the scientific. If you want to write that name, Guliano Marinkovic, he's just a fantastic researcher. And there's a lot of young guns out there that literally have the ability to go to Google Earth, that goes to various, you know, different broadcasts and streaming things that you're not going to find on the general internet, that you literally could start gathering information that kind of puts dots together in the circle around what you're looking at, because the only way you're going to find it is indirectly through research, you know, that kind of thing. It's worth doing if you've got the time, for sure.
When that's where, you know, kind of before the show, you know, I kind of tease it, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring it up, but I'm going to anyway. It's just, is that one where, you know, years ago, I saw that one of the research stations, and I wanted to say it was a British one, had that plaque dedicating this site to the observation of the enemy. And I can't find that. I can't find it.
Just to clarify, that was down in Antarctica that plaque was placed.
Yep, it was placed in down there. And so obviously they're not observe, you know, where it's a treaty, so we're not considering the fellow countries enemies. So if all of them are doing this, there's got to be something. I mean, we could get into the conspiracies. I'm not a big proponent of the flat earth, you know, theory, and that Antarctica is in fact a giant ice ring around, you know, it's just, I mean, I'm, you know, it's a solid continent, but I want to know the history, because there is plenty of reports, like you said, of the geothermal pockets where there's potentially rainforest that is underneath there, that this plant light has survived while everything else is frozen over it. You have this area that is, and we could have stuff that, I mean, we're talking plants, animals that may have survived, you know, thousands, if not, you know, up to millions of years and still exist in here. Max Hawthorne, if you're listening, this is a great segue for a book.
Well, you know, back to what you're saying about all these caves, and, you know, we can't do that. This is a small step to what we're going towards, but I don't know how this isn't news, that the Elon Musk Boring Company just finished his second mile-long tunnel in Las Vegas. It's done. Like, it'll be completed in 2021. Yeah, it's a little bit behind, but still, like, he is burrowing under Las Vegas for transportation. Like, it's not being talked about. Why? This is a huge break in technology, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah. And why Las Vegas?
Well, that's what I was reading more about it, and there, he was like, it's going to be, where is it? For, like, people, you know, passengers will enter a Tesla piloted by another human at about 35 miles per hour, and now he's saying that he's behind a little bit. Now they're saying the system will rely on Tesla Model 3s and XS, a tram built on the Model 3, holding up to 12 to 16 passengers. Now he's mainly trying to put it for conference goers, for more convention stuff, but still, I mean, like, this is a huge breakthrough in transportation, and it's like, and this just came out in June. Yeah, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but come on now. Why was this not brought up?
That's crazy. I mean, have you seen the Teslas?
I don't, that's a whole different thing, you know, because Chris was talking about Teslas and stuff, but like with Elon Musk throwing out satellites, I hope he's not listening, because I don't think he's a bad person. He has not evil intentions, but it's just weird. He has all these satellites. I just feel like all these Teslas are going to be taken over and be hacked one day. So don't ever buy a Tesla. That's my mind.
Guess what? So, before you came on, right, we were talking about the rocket launch. Did you hear about the rocket launch? They said something briefly about the day of election. I'm like, what are they going to send the loser up in space?
Yeah.
Whoever loses.
Oh, they're doing a rocket launch on the day of election?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, Jesus.
What is he sending up there? The day of elections. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. There's, you know, I had so many questions, you know, it's like running out of time. That's the cool part about talking with you is, you know, it's so easy to just keep going. I mean, it's as your mind races, it's like, oh, I thought about this. I thought about this. And you realize, like, looking down them right now, I'm like, man, where are you? Hour and 15 minutes into this, you know, into this topic. And it's, the disclosure side of it, I don't personally think that we're ever truly going to find out what's going down there unless we have somebody that, like a Snowden, that actually gets information out. But how long that's going to be available before that gets, you know, taken down, I don't know. But I just, if there truly is another civilization that's taking off, like a, you know, another version of the Reich, I don't, I'm amazed that they haven't made themselves known by now. Because if they're that technologically advanced, you know, we're easy pickings. So there had to have been a treaty. Well, so I don't know. I mean, that's it. So
see, that's a great dot. You just found a great dot to connect to something else. Why would an advanced civilization on this planet want to hide underground? Not, for instance, not let us know of their presence. That's a fascinating subject all in itself right there.
Yeah. You know, and that's always been the thing for me, is where it's just, you know, I've always wanted, you know, you have that whole thing. It's like there's that little thread. You want to just pull on it, you know, because it's just bothering you, and you keep unraveling it.
Joey's red thread.
Yeah.
Dilly has no shirt on. It's all.
Yeah. It's kind of like technologically advanced. You know, obviously there should be something, but it makes me wonder if, like, the civilization, and the reason why it kind of broke off is they went from being a world dominating type civilization like Hitler envisioned, to where they may have broken off completely and became more of, I don't even want to say agrarian, but they may have become more of a civilization that saw their purpose in a whole different way. I mean, because we talk about the pyramid, we talk about other things that are going on. They may have discovered something that altered their whole perception of the world in itself. And after that one, they're done. Because, I mean, I could see it. If I suddenly came upon an alien, a giant alien ship, you went here, everything that's going on, like the elections, either just COVID, all that, that would be, I would no longer care. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm in, you know, the movie Prometheus, look at this ship. You know, you've got to go through and explore it.
Yes. And what if, for instance, human beings on this planet are just a collateral life form? What if we're not the most important thing on this third rock from the sun? What if we are a byproduct of other races coming down here and leaving their breadcrumbs, for a lack of a different term? And we have just lately come to the idea that we can start thinking about ourselves as sentient beings compared to what the real important life forms are on the planet, who might not even have bodies themselves. They might be interdimensionals that live here or under the planet, that literally, you know, we have quite a self-importance thing going on with our idea that we might be the top of the line. And what if we're just the ant hill on the corner that is not important?
If you want to get the mind-blowing thing, it's just there's people that talk about it. When you look at an atom, you see the nucleus, you see all the electrons in there, and then they superimpose it with a picture of our solar system. They're like, what if our solar system is an atom?
You got it.
You know, and we're made up of billions of atoms. So this, you know, potentially what we think is this massive, our solar system could be this minuscule piece of something incredibly larger. And it's, you know, and at that point, your mind's just like,
yeah. Orion's belt from the Mib movie, you know, the cat's, you know, little universe that he's wearing on his little collar is an entire universe in itself. And, you know, we always have to give the other side some deference as well. What if, for instance, the uniqueness of us here, the uniqueness of our DNA, the uniqueness of our situation in this part of the universe is so strange and unique that people come from around the universe just to marvel at what's been happening here on this planet for some reason. So it can go either way, you know, on this whole thing.
Where the universal truck stops, what you're saying.
Or the Buc-ee's. We might be the mistaken experiment that really hit the nail on the head that people are really intrigued with. Who knows?
That's awesome.
That's I can't think of an actual better way to stop. That's a perfect place. That stopping point right there.
So we are the truck stop.
That's right. Well, I just think this was something that we could potentially. Why we're so unique is because this would be something that you would be the universal, you know, zoo museum. It's like we got to go check this out because this is something that you know shouldn't have occurred, and here it is. It is, you know, it's worked when it shouldn't have worked. But yeah, we, you know, everybody. I mean, Facebook. If you haven't, you need to go to Michael W. Hall. He is always spaced out Sundays. He is, every day he has got a program going on there. Go follow him. Go check out these shows. They are amazing. Your Michael Lee, you just had him on Sunday. Yeah, that was a really great show. That was really entertaining. And yeah, I want to, you know, so we're going to try to get him on ourselves and bring him on too. But so but everybody, our archives are out there. Go. I want to say your channel what is your channel name on YouTube? I forgot to look that up. I apologize.
You know, I really don't have a good presence on YouTube, but you can just go to Michael W. Hall or UFO iTeam as well on YouTube.
So go there, subscribe to that, you know, follow that, watch those shows and archives. And because he's, you know, without, you know, puff him up too much here. I don't want to make him blush. You know, it's an incredible, incredible amount of information that's found in these shows. I mean, between Peter Davenport, you know, always giving you the UFO updates, you know, in front of the shows. It's a great program. I mean, between our show, you know, and then, you know, everybody else, it comes around our show. No, I'm just kidding. We're that crouton on the salad.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody.
He told us we're above the rest, so I'll take that.
No, it's I'm going to practice humility here. Come on. No, there. Go watch these programs. Follow up there. There's so many guests that I've been finding out through Mark Eddy, through you, through Joey and Tanya. I mean, through all the people in here. That it's a really great community, and I'm glad we have a chance to, you know, be a part of this along with you guys. Where it's kind of, it's a great ride, and I'm enjoying it. And so I'm really looking forward to the next stop that you know when you come back in and talk with us beardos, because man, it is a lot of fun. And
it's my pleasure, you guys, Austin and Craig and Chris. You know what? It's so relaxing for me to sit back here in the old paranormal office and talk with three knowledgeable guys on multiple subjects about whatever we want to do. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than this as far as red pilling the public on what's really going on. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Anytime. I mean, it just, I can't thank you enough for being willing to come on to us. I mean, because this program, we just envisioned us three, you know, just talk with ourselves. And then I honestly did not envision this at all when we first started out. So just the fact that we can have, you know, somebody of your caliber that's willing to come on not only once, but then, you know, actually look, it's like, okay, these guys aren't crazy. You know, they're not a bunch of idiots that are trying to make us look bad. You know, they're actually interested in the talk. I'm going to come on again. And still be willing to keep coming on. It blows my mind. So I just.
Anytime, you guys. Anytime you get stuck, give me a call. I'm only a Zoom away.
Awesome. Yeah, that's. I mean, I have to do that sometimes. It's like, guys, what are we doing here? I don't know. Quick, Michael Hall. You know, send him a link. Join in real quick if you can. I'm currently doing my show. I don't care. Please.
Fill us out, please.
Yeah. We'll join your show at the same time. We'll merge them together. Let's do something.
That's right. Well, we'll figure something out. Don't ever hesitate to call, for sure.
awesome.
All right, so go check him out on Facebook. Go support him and everybody. Spaced Out Radio. They, you know, he's got, when you watch it, he's got, I think you're still involved with that Chive Charities, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, help them out. They're, you know, it's a great, great program, great people. And, you know, we all need to support each other. So if you guys get a chance, you know, you can go help them out, help out with his sponsors and show them some love as well. And we have a Harlan Sampson. She's like, you know, it looks like, you know, on Sunday nights watches her too. So that's great. You know, I appreciate you tuning in as well. So
thanks, Harlan.
Hey, well, thanks again, sir. We will get back to what you're doing. I mean, it's late for us, but it's in about dinner time for you. So, yeah, look at 7 o'clock.
Just perfect. I tell you what, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Craig and Austin. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. All right, sir. Have a great night. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
This episode, everybody, was brought to you by Bratz Beard Care. Premium beard oils made right here in Central Florida. Go to bratzbeardcare.com. Use promo code 3beards with a capital B, and you're going to save 20% off and get free shipping on all orders. Nanny Cakes Nancy Burke. Go to Nanny Cakes 407 on Facebook or give her a call at 407-923-2898, and you're going to mention us. You're going to save 15% off on an amazing cake here in the Central Florida area. Please give her a call. And everybody, 3beardspodcast.com, patreon.com, become a beardo, support us, make us, you know, who's going to make us happy and have that first, you know, be that first patron. That's what we're waiting for. But yeah, become a beardo today, and we'll send you a stickers as we make them up. Go check us out on the socials, like us, share us, you know, pretend that you are one of us. You know, we might even figure out a way to do it, you know, temporary, you know, give you one of those beard on a stick. We keep talking about that. We just have to do it. So everybody, thanks for watching. Appreciate it. It was a little longer show, but definitely worth it. Everybody have a great night. Appreciate you watching. Thank you very much. Good night.
Bye.